This meeting is now being recorded.
Remember, though, it's recorded. so all the callers are muted once the call officially begins. You can toggle between mute and unmute using star 6 if you would like to ask questions or make comments. But we do ask you that you don't place your call on hold because then we hear your hold music. So Bo is going to give us sort of a quick update, and then we will get started with this month's topic.
Again, thank you. And real quickly, I spoke to Ted Okon, I guess, yesterday, and the Part B experiment that everybody's feared for some time is on hold and possibly permanently. We hope permanently. We hope that it's completely dropped off the agenda for the entire healthcare community. So, but we'll see. We're watching it. The Medicare fee schedule came out for physicians. There's minimal changes to that. It's just like less than 1%, less than a half a percent in most areas, depends on your gypsy area. There's also just some minor changes to coding. But other than that, it's just, it just looks like a very uneventful final rule. Caremark has relieved the cancer care teams from the restrictions they're putting on dispensing oral drugs for cancer centers. However, we are still fighting issues with them. We saw yesterday, or actually it's been out a while, I just saw it, where they're changing their formulary and they're doing some step edits or step audits to step edits to make sure people can see if they can get them. The loops are getting higher, the hoops to kind of access misinformation. So the battles are still there, but we're watching them carefully and keeping the teams up as we know. So, other than that, just keep using the listserv. And other than that, I'll turn it back over to Sarah and Dana to introduce our guest.
Thanks a lot, Bo. So today our topic of conversation is advanced practice provider training and orientation, how to train nurse practitioners and physician assistants, and how best to go about getting them the information that they need and the training that they need. So Marcia DeVita, who is a nurse practitioner at Hematology Oncology Associates of Central New York up in Syracuse, has been kind enough to share with us a training curriculum that she has developed, and essentially we're hoping to use this as sort of a jumping-off point as a start for developing sort of a more universal training curriculum that can be sort of modified for your needs. So, you know, of course, training is sort of based on the time and the components of the training is based on the APP's experience at when they come into the practice and what the team's services and expectations are. And just the template that Marcia has provided us will be available on the CAP website. And, again, it can be modified for your use. So now I'll just turn it over to Marcia, and she's going to go through the components of her training curriculum. And just keep in mind that this is an open forum and that if you have questions or comments, you can always use star 6 to unmute yourself and ask Marcia any questions. I'm sure she'd be open to sharing her knowledge and expertise. So, Marcia, I guess without further ado, over to you.
I did not mute the lines because we don't have a large number of people, so you don't have to star 6, but do feel free to chime in with discussion.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a large group of advanced practice staff. We have 19 FTEs right now. So we have quite a bit of experience in hiring and orienting and training new nurse practitioners. And I try to pull on the experience of those who have been here longest or who have shown leadership skills and the ability to teach. And together with experience over the years and some external resources, we came up with a template that seems to work pretty good for our practice right now. One piece that we've noticed was missing from things that we used before was that we sometimes would get so focused on how to do the task of the work that we did not really give the new employees a chance to really ease into the role and ease into learning more about cancer and treatments instead of the task, because you really don't want your new staff focusing on the task. So we built in a shadowing experience just to shadow different physicians in our practice for the first about 4 weeks. And that varies somewhat. We've done as much as 6 weeks, but again, there's so much to the task that we really wanted to strike a balance between helping them understand how physicians make decisions, you know, and just listening to what they tell their patients and asking a lot of questions of the physician. So we're kind of stuck at the 3 to 4 weeks right now, and it seems to be working well. We try to guide the new employee to really observe the interaction between the patients and team members. We do huddles every day on each team. We review the patients ahead. It's a good opportunity to learn about disease, about the process of care, resources for our patients, the different roles of the team members, how progress notes are documented in the consult notes, to look at the things physicians order, like the new treatment order, to start to learn how to read pathology reports, understand cancer staging, and a little bit about the different types of cancer. It really takes a long time to learn everything they need, but it's a nice introduction. We ask them to pay attention to patient symptoms and what kinds of therapies were offered. Did the physician use tumor markers in that particular type of cancer? What kind of imaging did they order? And then to sort of focus on things like why would we change your treatment and what were some of the toxicities that you see. And we're not really looking for memorization of this. We're just sort of looking for new people to sort of understand some of the logic and just the flow of the work and then to be comfortable with the physicians in our office. And as far as the physicians who take students, we're pretty careful to select the physicians that tend to talk out loud about what they plan to do. We have one in particular who's very active in research and national organizations, and it's like attending a class if you go in a room with him, because he starts from the beginning of time and talks about the patient's history and different treatments and why they might be one better than another. So he's a great, great teacher. And then the other thing that we want this new employee to do as they follow a physician around is to start looking at some of the forms that we use and some of the components of the medical record and just find their way around the chart, because that's another important part of taking care of patients is learning where to find the information that you use and how to document the information. So if you want to go to the next slide, please.
Marcia, can I just ask you a question while we're here?
Sure.
What is the kind of the setup of your practice? Do your APPs work one-on-one with the docs, or do they everybody shares patients, or how does that work?
We work one-on-one.
Okay.
We do have one nurse practitioner stationed in an infusion center, and we have two in a hospital, but everyone else
so
is one-on-one.
So during the shadowing, is the nurse practitioner going to be with the physician that they're going to be working with, or is it?
We haven't been doing that because our
okay.
nurse practitioners share patients with a physician, but they have their own schedule. So they'll have 10 to 12 patients on their own schedule to
mm-hmm.
see. So we just try to have this be, you know, one new nurse practitioner really going in every room with one physician. And then after that happens, we bring the new NP and put them with that nurse practitioner who works with that physician.
I see. Okay. I see. Thank you.
You're
I actually have another question, Marcia.
Okay.
Do you have any formal EMR training set up? That's one of the things that new employees have sort of expressed. You know, if you, say, get a job in a hospital, there's typically a time and a place where you can sit down and have computer-specific training, and we're lacking in that. I don't know, have you been able to develop something like that, or have people looked for that?
Yes, we actually do have that. I probably should have started out with what everyone gets, but the first day for any new employee is spent in orientation, and they learn, you know, they go through the employee handbook, they get some basic electronic medical record skills on how to, you know, navigate the record, they get skills on how to use our office email, just, you know, HIPAA talk. We talked to them about what an oncology medical home is, just the basics the first day. And then the second day, they get another about an hour and a half on negotiating through the electronic medical record. It's a smaller group. And then typically I have them go back at about week 3-4, and they start getting a little more in-depth in the electronic medical record, looking at, you know, different filters and how to find things. So they do get training.
That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. We're fortunate to have a director of EMR, and then he's got a couple staff members that help him roll out new things and help him with the training and, you know, resetting filters and answering the help desk problems. So that helps to have some staff dedicated to it. So the next 3 to 4 months is when the new nurse practitioner is paired up with a seasoned nurse practitioner. And again, there are a couple people we have here who are very, very good at teaching and training. It's not something everyone is great at. Some people love it, some don't love it, but I have two that do a great job. So they continue to show the new nurse practitioner how to find their way through the chart, how to locate information, how to enter orders, and there's specific ways orders should be entered, and how the visits relate to the infusion schedule. I'm sure every facility is a little different, how you can get a blood transfusion, how you can schedule or order imaging, new treatment orders, labs, just all the little details about placing orders. And then the new employee also participates in huddle, as they did when they shadowed the physician. But at this time, it's more from the perspective of a nurse practitioner, what she hopes to get out of huddle and what she brings to the huddle about patients that she saw or will be seeing. And
who's
then,
involved in a huddle?
Pardon me?
Who? What all staff is involved in a huddle? I mean, is it the physician, the nurse practitioner?
Yes. It's a physician, a registered nurse, a nurse practitioner, and ideally, most of the time, we have what we call the patient navigator, who really
mm-hmm.
is a scheduler.
Okay.
So we tried to just improve the communication on the team and have everybody know what's coming up with the patients that are coming in.
Sure.
So, so that's kind of a big deal for the practice.
Mm-hmm.
So then the nurse practitioner will start seeing patients alongside the nurse practitioner. As the nurse practitioner sees patients, they start talking about the CBC, the differential, the granulocytes, the significance of that, and then platelets, because most of these people are not coming from an oncology background. So it's not really orientation. It's how do you be an oncology nurse practitioner plus orient to the practice. They talk about transfusion parameters, the chem profiles, the significance of that, when tumor markers are appropriate, what you do with it when they're elevated, and then they start to work on some documentation for the progress note. They teach them how to capture the billing, what codes are appropriate and why. We also have them meet with a coder. We have, I think, 3 or 4 coders in the practice that coach our doctors and nurse practitioners and give them feedback on does their documentation match the code they chose. And then the nurse practitioner will start giving up one or two of her patients to the new nurse practitioner and start having them do the work, talk to them first about the patient they're going to see and ask them for feedback, what do you think is important about this visit, and then the new nurse practitioner does it all and documents it all with the oversight of the experienced nurse practitioner. So next slide, please. So in this process, they're supposed to familiarize themselves with the patient's history, talk with the mentor about it, do a complete assessment, discuss the assessment and plan, and then see the patient. We will let them start to open a limited schedule once they've had several weeks of just pulling patients off their mentor's schedule, because it's overwhelming if you're training someone and then the new nurse practitioner has their own schedule with a few patients and you need to be there and available to help that new person. So if you have parallel appointments, it doesn't work. So we start out by having one schedule and pulling off one at a time so that they're there to help. Eventually they start to build their own schedule though. Telephone triage. We make sure that the new nurse practitioner understands telephone triage. We talk about the urgent line for patients who feel they need to be seen the same day, the non-urgent nurse line, and the prescription refill line. There's a separate scheduling question line. We actually have the new nurse practitioner sit with the triage nurses for a couple of hours because they need to understand how they work, why they work the way they do, how they document. We have some rules with telephone triage that the nurses can put patients on for a sick call without asking permission because we have algorithms that they follow, you know, when to bring a patient in the office, when an ER is appropriate, and when telephone advice may be appropriate. There are some calls that get passed through to the what we call the clinic area, but it's really important that they understand telephone triage. Our nurse practitioners do the chemo teaching, and we set up an appointment about 45 minutes long for the chemo teach. We have these packets of all this information put together in a long consent form that talks about side effects and goals of therapy and what to expect. So that's sort of a big ordeal to get the new nurse practitioner ready to do a chemo teach and a consent visit. It's a good way to learn a little bit about the drugs, too. But they spend time reviewing that process, watching a few, and then starting to do a few. We teach them, the NP will teach them about chemo orders. As she teaches the task of how to, she's talking about the drugs, the regimens, what resources are available, what toxicities occur with which drug regimen. And then we talk a lot about scheduling the follow-up visits and infusion appointments, trying to make sure that no one ever falls through the cracks by having the next appointment already in place, and talk about when we give chemotherapy, how do we know it's working, what do we expect to see, what types of patients need imaging or tumor markers, and what types of patients do not. We have our nurse practitioners write chemo orders. The physicians put in new treatment plan telling what they want to get, but the nurse practitioners manage the chemo orders right now. And our policy is that it's done under the direct supervision of either a physician, a medical oncologist, or a nurse practitioner who is experienced in writing of chemo orders. So that's about 3 or 4 months where everything is double-checked and you know, just to make sure there aren't errors there, and then teach them how to code capture for the chemo teach, teach them about non-chemo teach and consent, and about the navigators and what they do with the chemo orders. You know, once we put an order in for like a level 6 appointment, how that process works. We have to go through the e-prescribing with them, just not just the mechanics of it, but, you know, all the other steps, the, what do you call it? The New York State I-STOP line, how much to prescribe at a time. We do talk to them about opioid abuse and the difference between, you know, giving narcotics to a patient who's having cancer pain and then someone who's having pain from another source. Hopefully we can manage elsewhere. We talk about the REMS for the high-risk medication. We talk about sick calls, what the typical sick call is like, and that you will have slots for 2 sick calls on your schedule every day. Talk about genetic testing, how to order a MyRisk Oncotype test or BRCA test, and what the significance of the test is. So it's kind of a lot. Next slide. We have them review infusion questions. Our nurse practitioners actually take it probably 100% of the infusion nurse questions. They're the first person they call if a patient shows up and doesn't feel well or blood counts are off, they have new swelling or something like that. So observing how infusion questions are asked and answered is very important. And also observing infusion reactions and what the nurse practitioner should do to participate in the response to the reaction. That's reviewed, and it's really going to be much better now that we have an infusion nurse practitioner because there will be some solid consistency and the ability to follow someone around an infusion for a week or so, which wasn't on the original template. We also have them shadow someone on the emergency team. We have we use a telephone system, star 80, and we say blue team, front desk, or wherever the emergency is, and we assign a nurse and a nurse practitioner to the emergency team. Usually there's about I don't know, six people who show up. Usually a doctor will show up too, but we show them how to find out if they're on the emergency team and what they should do and what the documentation is for an emergency. We talk to them about some oncologic emergencies that can happen, and we ask them and ask our peers to let us know if they see a patient with a cord compression, SVC, talk to them about tumor lysis or cardiac tamponade and hypercalcemia, and then brain tumor patients, because it's one thing to talk about, it's another thing to see it. So we try to get people to share that experience with a new person. We use a PHQ-9 depression tool and then the NCCN distress tool for psychosocial screening. So we talk about that and what we do with that, what the process is. If it's a score of 4 or greater, then we notify the social work team. We have a protocol of how quickly they need to get in. We talk about other things the social work team does, and also about the dietitian and what the dietitian does for our patients. We have a physical therapist who has a cancer rehab program, talk about the reasons why we would refer someone to Janine and how to refer someone to Janine. And actually, we have a couple of days where we just schedule appointments so the new person can meet our social workers, dietitian, and our cancer rehab person and go to the radiation department so they start to understand and make connections with different areas in the office. We talk about admissions from the office to the hospital, about chemo admissions and how to make sure that we notify the people in the hospital that a patient's coming in, not just the admission office, but the people taking care of the patient in the hospital who have to write chemo orders need to know, and it's something that sometimes we forget, so we try to keep reminding everyone. Talk about office hydration, how we take care of that. I hope I'm not boring you too much with all of this. Next slide, please. I think I had this on before about non-chemo drugs. We talk about how to order that. Bone marrow biopsies. All of our nurse practitioners do not do bone marrow biopsies. Some do. If a person has any interest in pursuing it, then we have training done by our more experienced PANPs, and they have to see 10, or they have to successfully complete 10 under direct supervision before they're allowed to do any more than that. But what I found is most want to do more than 10 before they do any on their own, but we just keep that to show that we've trained them. So we talk about survivorship. We have them take some classes on survivorship, and we show them how to get the treatment summary and the follow-up care plan together by disease, how to locate their resources, how to locate policies and procedures, blood component forms, hospital admit forms. We do have an occurrence reporting system and a near-miss reporting system, so we show them how to find all of that. And then, of course, they spend some time in the research department learning about the clinical trials that we have on hand. We talk about the chemo drug information and have them shadow in the hospital for a couple of weeks so they know the role there. Next slide, please. All these pieces of chemo orders, we go through the whole process because it is a little bit probably more convoluted than what some people use, but we have had MOSAIC EMR for many, many years, and our physicians have never selected a care plan out of the list. They've written an order that says, I want to give standard dose of Adriamycin and Cytoxan every 21 days. So for our nurse practitioners, they need to know what that means when they see that, that they start an authorization and they pick the care plan. And we have pathways, so they have to pick the right line of therapy. So there's a lot of details, and we go over all of these details with the new employee. And these are the kinds of things that we look at while they're doing chemo orders. We have the people also meet with our pharmacist who kind of manages our pathways and reports on our pathways just to make sure that they're getting information from our nurse practitioner with experience, from our pharmacist, and we also require them to take the chemo bio course. Next slide. So we talk to them about our system of checks, what we do in the clinic or pod area, what we do in infusion, because it's important that they know what that is. Talk about organ function. make sure that they start to connect the chemo drugs and regimens with the disease and with the disease stage. Make sure they start to pay attention to the length of the chemotherapy cycles, and they start to understand the toxicities, and they know where to look for information on toxicities and how to take care of the patient with a toxicity, whether it's a dose reduction, holding a dose, or treating the symptom. So there's quite a bit for these people to learn. That's why I finally came up with checklists, because it was just too much to think that everyone would remember it every time. Next slide, please. So these are some of the things, some of the types of appointments I mentioned. They spend time with infusion charge. They spend time with a nurse delivering chemotherapy. They spend some time in the pharmacy. We have a radiation department and CT department with CyberKnife, so they're down there for a day or two. And then we work closely with a medical imaging practice. So if they haven't had any experience watching a port insertion, we have them spend some time there, usually half a day. They spend time with their dietitian, physical therapist, social workers. They meet with a coder shortly after they start with their very first progress note, so that they don't learn bad habits and they can understand if pieces are missing from their note or if they could have documented something a little more clearly. We have them meet with different department heads, some of the administrators, with the lab folks, the research department, coders. Really, they touch almost everyone in the practice. Next slide. So this I spoke about a little bit earlier, about the EMR training. They do go back for more details on how to set filters and find things in the EMR, how to reset Windows. We have a voice recognition system and software tagged on to our Mosaic called Palabra, which really makes the notes a lot easier to do, but they need training in that. We need to make them understand how to add a diagnosis and staging. And they get a lot of practice on test patients before they start playing on real patients' charts. More from the EMR, we have them learn how to view all of these things. And I just created this checklist basically so that they could ask themselves, did I get this information when I spent time with the EMR department, or do I need to ask someone how to do it? Next slide. Okay, so these are more tasks that we just try to make sure they understand how to complete. I'm trying to make the new people as responsible for their learning as the mentor is, and I think the checklist is a nice way to have that happen, because if they see something like MAR on there and they don't know how to find it, then they know they need to find out how to find it. So next slide. And again, the checklist of how to enter orders. This is more information that they get from the EMR class and or their physician, their nurse practitioner mentor. And next slide. These are the courses through ONS that I have had the nurse practitioners take as basics, because most of our people are family practice nurse practitioners, sometimes right out of school, and they need something more than what we can give them between our daily office hours. So this has been, I think, very good. The feedback has been good. We've had a few PAs start lately, and what I've had them do is use the ASCO University education, because they need more CMEs than the CEUs or nursing. So I've had them take the Basics 101 course, and they get Principles of Oncology and Systemic Therapy, Common Anti-Cancer Therapies, Diagnostic Evaluation, Chemo Administration, Pharmacology, Supportive Oncology, Anti-Treatment Toxicities, and then Basic 101 Assessment. And the feedback that I've had on that series of courses has been very good, too. So I think it's helpful to give them a little bit of coursework while they're going through this, and I do give them some time to complete the coursework. Next slide. Touch base with them at 3 months to make sure that they're progressing, and then again at 6 months, they should be really flying fairly well at 6 months. At 3 months, sometimes they're a little insecure still, because they're you know, still learning, but by 4 months, they're usually ready to start doing a little more, maybe a modified schedule, and they go to their mentors and ask questions. Next slide. Okay, that's it. Any questions?
Good job, Marcia.
Yes, thank you, absolutely.
Marcia, those ONS courses, I'm sorry, those are all offered online, or?
Yes, they are.
Any other questions for Marcia? Okay. Thank you very much. That was very helpful, and I commend you for a very all-inclusive orientation that you guys have. That's really impressive. So, you know, we will provide that template that Marcia's very kindly provided for you guys to access and review. We will probably, you know, work through it and see if, you know, we can, you know, alter it any more for smaller practices or make it more generic for you guys to use and provide that on the COA website. A couple of things in closing, just to have something on your radar, the COA oncology or the COA conference is going to be in April this year. It's April 27th through the 28th, and that's going to be in Washington, D.C. So we plan to have a couple of breakout sessions for the APPs, and then, of course, there's a clinical track that's very much applicable to us as it is, you know, for the physicians. So we encourage you and invite you to attend that. That's just something to kind of get on your calendar, and you'll be getting more information on that. But I present that to say if there are any topics that you think would be helpful for us to provide to you at the conference, please let us know. Think about that. The agenda is very much underway and in the process of being finalized, so please send an email to me or Diana or even Bo if you have anything that you think would be helpful. We've talked about, you know, doing another session on survivorship, you know, recruitment and orientation. So those are just a couple things that we've discussed. We will not have a call in December or January, okay, so we will reconvene in February with our monthly call, so be on the lookout for that. But please continue to use the listserv for any questions, comments, feedback, and then, of course, we're always welcoming topics of discussion for our upcoming calls. So I'll open it up if anybody has anything else to throw out, and then we will close and we will reconvene our calls in February. Anything? Okay.
Thanks,
well, thanks
Sharon.
For
Thank you, Dana.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for attending, and thanks to Marcia again. That was very helpful. We appreciate that. And we hope you all have Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and we'll look forward to discussing with you on the listserv.
And have,
you have a great wedding.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, all.
Thanks, guys.